In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular scheduled roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253. Or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
Every student has the ability to be exceptional, and Bear Academy provides that opportunity. Come learn about our school on Sunday, November 3rd between noon and 4. Located in Chesterfield, Bear serves students in the grades 6 through 12, providing a private, independent, Catholic school experience and college prep curriculum. Athletics, performing arts, clubs, robotics, and strong leadership opportunities create a fully engaged experience for all. Visit our website at bearacademy.org, and remember, your teenager can be exceptional.
We all have a lot of things we're going to do one day. One day I'll change my career. One day I'll get my bachelor's degree. Well, today is the day to be brave. Because Maryville University offers more than 30 degrees online, including bachelor's degrees, with no entrance exams and no application fees. We've been empowering students for nearly 150 years, so we know there's no time like the present to focus on your future. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
When I need to unwind, there is only one thing that can hit the spot, an ice-cold whiskey cola. And whenever I'm at home, my DrinkWorks drink maker is ready to roll. One push of a button, just like those fancy espresso machines, and I'm sipping a delicious cocktail made right on my kitchen counter without the hassle, and all in under a minute. This brand-new machine is already a great deal, but I've talked them into making an offer just for our listeners, because I love it, and now I know you will, too. DrinkWorks has taken $100 off their original price. But just for our listeners, you can take another $50 off for a total savings of $150, and they'll even throw in free shipping. This offer is going away very soon. Don't wait. Here's the only way to get this amazing drink maker with exclusive savings plus free shipping. Go to drinkworks.com. Use the code TIM50 at checkout to save $50 and get free shipping. Don't wait. This amazing offer won't last, and it's only for our listeners. That's drinkworks.com, and use my code TIM50 at checkout. And remember, please enjoy responsibly.
If you haven't checked out Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Sunset Hills, you are missing out! Get a precision haircut, hot towel treatment, and hot lamp and neck shave from one of our talented stylists for just $14. Lady Jane's in Sunset Hills on Lindbergh Boulevard, just south of Watson Road, next to St. Louis Bread Co. It's wicked awesome!
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. Just make sure the first departure is out of the parking lot of Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, where hopefully you bought that Chevrolet. Would you please say hello for, I don't know, the 3,000th time, and I hope there are 3,000 more, to John Londoff, everybody.
Hi.
How you doing?
You, buddy.
It's a beautiful, spectacular day. I don't know how everybody should be doing well.
You should be doing great. You know, from the time you looked in the mirror and saw that handsome mug of yours this morning, I thought,
here we go.
What?
You should not be doing good, man. Woo! Mm-hmm.
So, in case you didn't get a chance to listen, our topic for the last hour has been childbirth and being a daddy, because Limey, his... What do we call her, Limey? Your girlfriend or your mother?
Yeah, sure, you can do that. Lady friend.
Okay. His lady friend had a false alarm today, and they went to the hospital, false alarm, back home. Did that ever happen with any of your boys?
No.
It happened to us. I remember it happened to us. We went, and they said, not yet.
You asked me the question. I didn't get to really elaborate, and then here we are talking about yourself again.
It doesn't require an elaboration. It was a yes or no question. Did that ever happen with any of your boys? And you said no. How much elaboration can there be about something that didn't happen?
Well, we didn't leave because it was a 24, 5, 6-hour childbirth. We got to the hospital, and they're like, you need to walk the halls. And we walked the halls, baby. I mean, we walked them and walked them and walked them, and then I had to go into... OR, and they brought the forceps out, and I said to Dr. Burstein, God love him, I'm like, well, what are those for? He's like, I need to use these to get your little We didn't know we were going to have a boy or girl. All four were surprised. We never found out ahead of time. Did you?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then let's talk about mine again. No.
No, I'm still confused.
Are you going to go in the birthing room?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be part of it. Probably going to cut the umbilical cord and do all that fun stuff. Don't think I'm going to film it, though. That's probably not going
to
happen.
Do it the old-fashioned way. Bite the cord off. That's what they used to do in the old days. No, that's what they did in the old days. They bit it off. Are you going to eat the placenta?
No, but I don't think I'm going to do that. Probably not.
Well, John, people do.
Yeah, they do.
There are people that do that.
Good for them. I'm just going to probably stick with regular steak, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Would it be? All right.
So you had four boys. I have two boys and a girl, and I told Limey, I said, if I had it to do over again, I'd have five kids. Here's the other advice I have for him, and you can agree or not. Don't listen to most everybody who wants to give you advice. Even though I'm giving you advice, my advice is to not take most advice, because those people aren't you and their kid is not your kid. And here's the other thing, and I'm going to tell you this is going to happen. And it's absolute nonsense.
But don't take this advice. Go ahead.
Now this is not advice. This is just something to watch for, because it always happens. When this baby is born, your lady friend is going to say, oh, my goodness, he has his grandpa's ears, or somebody's chin. Or you may go, oh, I can see my dad's this or that. And it's complete nonsense, and I'm going to tell you why. All newborn babies kind of look the same. They're pretty much the same. And people see what they want to see. I'm going to give you two examples of why it's complete bunk. When we were in the hospital with, I don't remember, I think it was our third, my daughter, there's the maternity room, and there are a lot of babies in there behind glass, and nurses back there. And family members come and put their faces up against the glass and look at the new grandchild or the new niece or nephew, whatever it is. And I'm standing there next to a family, and they are going on, and they're looking through the glass and going, oh, that's grandpa's nose. There is no, and they go through about three or four family members who they absolutely see the features of that person, until the nurse walks over and shakes her head no. They're looking at the wrong baby. That's not even their daughter's baby. And they've just gone on about. The second thing that happened to me was with a baby in a stroller. And it was a woman, and she's out, and this woman walks up and looks in and says, and looks at the woman and says, oh, she is really cute. I know who her mom is. She's got your eyes. And the woman said she's adopted. So people see what they want to see. They think they see this stuff. The truth is, that child will completely change in about 3 years, and none of those features will even still be there. So people have fun doing it. Let them do it. But I was never the person that said, oh, I got my dad's nose or my mother's ears.
This has to be the longest I'm not giving you any advice story in your life. Okay?
because it wasn't advice. It wasn't advice. It was just a warning.
I'm not going to give you any advice.
I was just going to text Trevor and say, start playing the See the USA. You certainly talk again.
I've never known I was gone. I washed my hands a little bit. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. All right, so Limey, what, are you ready to jump out of a window now or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I'm ready.
This is a rough crowd. This is a rough room. I picked the wrong room today. Like an airplane, when Lloyd Bridges says, I picked the wrong day to quit smoking. I picked the wrong day to quit drinking.
Oh, you know what?
Through the whole thing.
You said pick the wrong room. That's a good joke. In hell?
The coffee joke?
Yeah,
that's a good joke. I have another joke for today. I'll save that for later. Okay, John, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I'm exhausted. I mean, I've run out of things to say from sitting. I've been talking to myself for the last.
He's exhausted from all that listening.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you weren't If you weren't paying to abuse me like this, I would never put up with this.
But, yes, you would. You'd have no choice.
No, I have no choice now.
I grew up in an automotive dealership service department and the showroom floor. You know, if I don't know how to banter back and forth with people, I'd be out of the business, right? So, I mean, what I do for a living, Mimi will say, why do you always have to talk to people? Honey, that's what I do for a living. I talk to people, but maybe a little bit too much for her. But how about in an elevator? You know, it's just always, you know, we were just a few weeks ago. People get on an elevator and they just like look up at the sky or they look at their feet.
I always do this in an elevator. Everybody's kind of looking around and I go,
Except Dan doesn't do it with his mouth. That's the problem. He actually does that.
You know, you don't tell me you haven't been on an elevator when all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, somebody just cut the cheese.
Yes.
And you can't get off. You saw a little window sound.
Oh, that's right, Rad Boy.
So we're having a great day today. Unbelievable day today. And I think we've got about 7 or 8 sold. We need to get to 20. So we're looking for a few more AM and the PM folks.
We can do this. Open late tonight. We can do this. We can sell the rest of them.
There was someone yesterday and was in service, I think, and he wanted to meet me, wanted to say hello. But if you were here, you're listening now, man, come back up. He wanted to get a picture of the two of us, he and I together. Not you, Frank, just he and I.
And,
unbelievable. The power of the AM and the PM.
You almost forgot what station you were on, didn't you? Because I know it's got to be tough, because I know you're on another show. I know you're on another show.
I was going to say the power in the P, but I thought I'd better say power in the AM and the PM. So that's okay. It. Don't try to figure out what I'm saying, because half the time, I don't know what's going to come out of this mouth, okay? But I can tell you what I'm going to tell you right now.
All right,
you ready for this?
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Every car, 750 new cars, trucks, SUVs, and pre-owned vehicles are all priced online at Londoff.com. LONDOFF.com. Someone came in and gave us a bid to do a job here, and they mispronounced our last name. It was LONDORFE.
Londoff.
Londoff.
I've never seen that one before, and it was pretty hilarious. So,
now, how was that presented, on a check or something? Or?
No, a proposal to do a bid, to do some work here. So, guess what happened?
They didn't get it.
That's the kiss of death. If you can't get the proposed client's name right, you're done.
It's pretty hilarious. So, but I do love people. It's beautiful. I get to meet some of the nicest people, the AM and the PM crowd. Unbelievable and good stuff. Good stuff. So that's it. We're going to be open late tonight. I'll just tell you now, we will, when it hits daylight savings time, which is this next weekend, not this weekend coming up, but I think it's November 2nd, Saturday. That's opening up duck season. You will gain another hour. So that's Saturday night. Get ready to party on. Not me. I'll be in bed sleeping because I'm probably going to go duck hunting that Sunday, November the 3rd. So we will, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, starting on the 4th of November, we will be shutting down at 8 p.m. because it pretty much gets pitch dark by 5:30, and going to let the great people of Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, the teammates of mine, spend a little more time at home with their folks or their family until, and we'll go back to 9:30 on March, April. So that's good. Exciting. I can tell you're excited. You're on the edge of your seat, aren't you?
No, I'm afraid to say anything because I'll get accused of, you know, cutting you off or not letting you elaborate. So
you know, it's about time you got this straight, okay?
Yeah,
only took
I got
15
it.
Years.
I've got it, sir.
314-837-1800-314-837-1800 247-365 at Londoff.com. Dan, would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Dan, would you sing the jingle?
Johnny Londoff Chevrolet.
What a voice. How about that?
Wow.
Good stuff. Hi, John. Thank you.
Great talking to you. Hey, Frank. Listen, you know I love you, buddy.
No, I don't. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Now, he was after me from the get-go. I mean, he was ready to pounce, and he did. That's okay, though. makes a lot of stuff possible here. Johnny Londo. Washington Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270, 24/7 at Londoff.com. Let me have that Dr. Doug music, if you would, please. Every Wednesday for 16 or 17 years we've done this, and I think it's because we'll never talk to every pet owner if we were on the air for 300 years, because a lot of people have pets. If you have a pet and you have a concern, a question, or if you don't have and you're considering getting something but you're not sure if it's right for you or your family or whatever, this is your guy. This is your pet's best friend. He is the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. His name is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. And I'm going to give you the phone numbers you need after I remind you he's brought to you by Window World, another great, tremendous supporter of this show that's helped keep it on the air. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Here are the numbers, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Call right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Doug Pernikoff. We are terrific, Doc. How about you?
I am AM in the PM.
Always is. Now, we have one call, which means we have lines open. Folks, you need to jump on them. Before we take Angie's call here, though, did you see the story this morning about the puppy jacking, the armed guy who stole three puppies right from a woman who was out walking them?
Wow. No, in St.
Yeah.
Louis?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, opened God. His coat to show her he had a gun and said, I'll take those puppies.
Wow.
That's a new one.
What kind of dogs were they?
They were blue. It had the word blue in it. I didn't save the story, but it was an odd breed. They sell for a couple thousand dollars sometimes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So he obviously knew what she bred, knew what he was doing. You wouldn't just do that for any dog. So that's a first. I don't remember dog jacking, but
if I can pronounce this properly, they were Alapaha blue blood bulldog puppies.
I knew there was blue.
Alapaha.
Alapaha blue blood. You ever heard of that, doctor?
Yeah, I actually have a client that has one. They're about $4,500.
Wow.
Well, he made off with like $1,300 worth of dogs, of puppies. Let's get Angie in here before she gets tired of waiting. Angie, thank you for holding. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hi, Dr. Doug. I'm AM and the PM.
Thank you, Angie.
Hi, Angie. How can I help you?
Hi. Fine. Can I say hi to my boyfriend who's supposed to be listening?
What's his name?
Randy?
No.
Randy?
No.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that.
Is that the owner? Okay.
No, it's a different... Oh, well, wait a minute. It's not the guy that owns the station, is it, Angie?
I don't know. No, it's not.
No, I was hoping it was, because if you're his boyfriend, that means he has a girlfriend, and boy, could we use that.
He's married.
He's married. That would be great.
You told Angie, you said if you're her boy, you're her boyfriend.
You can't even say it, Dan.
I know.
If you're his girlfriend,
that
and he's married... And if that had been true, we just secured our jobs here for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
But that wasn't true. Yeah, so, you cannot say hello to Randy, your boyfriend. That's not what this show's about, and it's not going to happen. What can Doug help? What can he help you with?
I have two questions. The first one is, I found a cat at my work, and I brought it home, and it's probably about 6 months old, and I have three other cats, and this cat will not stop hissing and growling at my other cat. My cats don't care. But how do I get that behavior to change with that cat every time she comes up to one of my cats?
Yeah, a couple ways to do that. First of all, what you can do is set the new cat into a howdy cage. So a cage, and you put it in the living space so the other cats can move around him and smell him and this and that. And he's kind of obligated to learn about them as well. And then the other option is to do it just the other way around. After some time, you could actually put the cage in a smaller room and put one or two of the other cats in there and let him have the freedom around them. And with time, cats always really seem to accommodate one another, so I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about bringing a strange cat into the house that you don't know if it's been vaccinated. I don't know if it's a male or a female.
But most importantly, if it was a stray cat or just found its way to you, it could be have been exposed to some of the diseases that we want to keep your cats away from. So anytime you do a good deed like that, the smartest thing to do is isolate that cat and keep it for a couple of weeks, get it to the vet, do all the workup, and make sure you're not bringing problems into your own household. Does that make sense?
Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
And the other question I have is my son has a dog that is about a year and a half maybe, but this dog, every time it comes up to you and you're trying to pet it, it jumps up on you for one thing, but the other thing is it continually licks you. It licked your arms the whole time you're trying to pet it. Why do they do that? Is it something in their diet? Or
I think it's an acceptable, normal social behavior for animals. They use their tongue. It's a taste organ, and I think it's really important. It kind of gives them a sense of what's going on, who's there. They also like the salt on our skin.
Is this a cat dog doing this? Is this a cat?
A dog.
Oh, a dog.
A dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The dog. Yeah, I think he's just. I think he's just exploring. And again, they like the salt on your skin, so I think that's a lot of what's happening. It's not a pathology. It's just the dog's particular behavior.
Do you think you could change that behavior? I can't stand dogs licking me.
You can. Yes, you can. No, the answer is yes, you can. Soak your arm in sulfuric acid.
Oh.
That dog will never lick it. And you won't have an arm.
I was going to say,
dog won't have a tongue.
You it might move on to my feet or something.
Yeah.
You can definitely talk to a trainer, and they can kind of give you some guide points how to get that to stop. I mean, if you want to work on your own, I imagine you could use like a... similar to a bark collar, whenever he starts to lick, or she or whatever, you can give him a little zap, and if you do it correctly, it's not going to hurt the dog, but it'll definitely get the point across very quickly. So
my son was putting, antibacterial stuff on his arms, like the hand wash stuff, but I didn't know if that was dangerous for the dog to be licking.
Oh, you know what, though? That's a great idea, Doc, that alcohol-based, like Purell or Germax stuff, because that's going to not taste good. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah,
I can get your dog wasted, though.
No, there's not enough alcohol for that.
It dries out really quickly. It's kind of not there. But you can try something else obnoxious. A lot of these deterrent materials have, like, some pepper in them. So I guess you could put, some pepper into a plant mister, shake it up with water, and kind of mist your arms and coat them. And don't do it so much that it's going to aggravate the dog, but enough that it keeps the dog disinterested in licking. So
don't wipe your nose with your arm. You'll be sneezing all day.
Yeah, I know. I don't wipe my nose with my arm.
Well, then you won't have an issue with that. All right, Angie. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye, Angie.
All right. Thank you.
There goes Andy. And Sean is next. Before we get to Sean, a line is open because Angie was taken care of. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Sean, welcome to 590. The fans say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug, AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Hey, Sean, how are
you? I'm great. I appreciate the show, and I appreciate this opportunity to ask some questions. I've got a German Shepherd, and she's been on this Apoquil for a couple of years. And I'm wondering, have you heard anything about the injectable medications for allergies for dogs? Are they any better than the pills?
I'm having a brain fart right now because I can't remember the name of the injectable, but they're both made by the same company, and very often we're instructed by the manufacturer, of course, to use both the Apoquil with the injectable form, and then often you can stop the Apoquil, and then you might only have to do the injectable form every 3 to 6 weeks during the worst of the allergy season. So I think you should definitely get back to your vet and talk to him about that combination. So again, you'd stay on the Apoquil, get the injectable antihistamine, and then over the next 4 weeks, you kind of drop the Apoquil, but you continue with the injectable as you need it, if needed. okay?
Okay.
But yeah,
that's
it's always helped me. It's the only thing that helped my dogs stop licking their feet. And I use the Epiflow, but the injectables really made a difference.
Because it's about $176 a month, so it's pretty expensive. How long also can you expect a German Shepherd to live, just normal lifespan?
Oh, I expect to live 14 to
16. Doc, we got two issues. If you're walking around, stop. If you're not walking, start walking, because we're losing in and out of the cells coming in and out, okay, and you're also holding the phone again in a multiple position or something.
Oh, well, how's that?
Yeah, this is not good.
No, that's
not
worse.
Not great. Well, it's worse.
I didn't get the when I got on the show this today. It didn't give me that charge you guys do when you switch on to the main speaker. Is that any part?
No, whatever you're doing right now is better. That's fine. Go right ahead. Okay. Sean, did you have another question?
Just about the lifespan of a German Shepherd. We love the dog. She's about 10 or 11 now, and I don't know
they can live to 12 to 14, even more. In fact, the oldest dog I've ever seen in practice was a German Shepherd that lived to be 22.
Wow.
So there's no absolute,
14 is pretty much the end of the line for most of them, isn't it? 15, 14, 15?
Yeah, for big dogs like that, if you get 14 years of good health, you've done a great job.
She doesn't smoke and doesn't drink, so we're on the
No. That's good. That's
these days, good. You ought to smoke the good stuff, because that's supposed to be healthier.
Far up! You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Sean?
Thank you again. I love the show.
Thank you, Sean. We appreciate it. Line's open, because Sean is gone. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. John, say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Frank. Hello, Dr. Doug. This
John?
Is John.
How are you, John?
Yeah, I have a cat question. I have an elderly cat, and I think next year, so a year from now, we're probably going to snowbird, but the only car travel this animal has had was to the vet every year. I'm wondering, is there any way I can coax an older cat? The cat's about 8 years old, maybe into getting used to it bit by bit.
Yeah, you can do some of that kind of training where you put the cat in a crate and you drive around. First, just maybe you sit in the car with the engine on and listen to some good music, and then next time you start taking little short trips and trying to keep the cat comfortable, and if you have to pet him inside the cage, whatever, just to make them feel comfortable. There are medications that your veterinarian might want to suggest that could be useful in a longer trek, and that's very legitimate, okay? So I would say it's a combination of conditioning, like we just described, and also adding some pharmacology to the mix.
Do people ever travel with cats, Doc, and let them just have the run of the car, just not caged? They just jump from front seat to back seat or whatever? Do they do that?
But it's not as good or safe because, number one, they're smaller, so they can get right up underneath your pedals, and that's scary. And then as they move around, I mean, God forbid, if you open the door for anything, usually they're gone. And it's not quite that difficult with dogs. So I would say if you're going to do that, keep a long line on the cat, like a harness leash, and at least you've got control of where the cat is when you want to have control, right?
Sounds like a plan. Makes a lot of sense. Thanks for your advice.
All right. John, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. All right, there goes John. And again, you know how this works. Someone hangs up. The first person, the smartest person who can call first, gets that line. 855-282-8255. 314-821-0590. Ken, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug. AM and the PM, guys.
Thank you, Ken.
Hey, Ken, how can we help you?
Hey, I have a very good friend that has since retired from the large checkered dog food company in town. And he told me that they were told, when he was still working there, a year ago anyway, that people food gives animals cancer. I told him that I think it's a bunch of propaganda.
I think you're exactly right. That's not true.
I mean, I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, hold on. First of all, they're in the dog food business. Of course they're going to say that.
That's what I told him, but he was adamant, and I know he's listening right now.
Yeah.
Hello, Kevin.
I know he's
listening right now, and he was adamant that they told all their employees that, and I told them they just want that to get out so they sell more dog food and people are afraid to give their dogs.
That is exactly right. Doc, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not aware of that, but, you know, if he has that information, we'd love to hear about it, wouldn't we?
He doesn't have the information.
If he's got articles or research that validates that, then we all...
First of all, don't you say, think about this. Don't you think if that were true, in all these years, we would have heard or read, that would be a pretty big story. There are a lot of pet owners in this country. Never heard a word of that. Not true.
I'll do my own homework, but I'm not aware of that. So.
Yeah, I was giving my dog a little bit of, you know, a hamburger off the grill or whatever, and he just...
Not going to kill him. How many
animals have had table scraps all these years?
How many animals have had nothing but that out on the farm? We had a dog when I was a kid. The dog almost never ate dog food. You rake off whatever. I know Doc's not a fan of that, but it's not going to give the dog cancer. That would have been something that would have been a huge news story we'd have heard about.
Right. I fed my kids table scraps and they survived.
I'm on your side, Frank. Honest to God, I am, homie, but... you know, I just I thought I'd bring this up because my buddy was adamant, and they...
Well, I always go back. This is what I always go back to. Any story that's big news, and that would be big news, we would have heard of it. That would, my goodness, that'd be the lead story on the nightly news on network television. This just in, research has proven if you give your dog table scraps, it'll get cancer. That would be a big story. It's not a big story because it's not true.
Well, the other part of that is it's such a general statement. You know, it's like, okay, maybe some...
table scraps?
Maybe some element could be cancer-forming.
But the same elements would be before it was scraps while you were eating it as your main meal. It could cause you cancer, too. I mean, look at all the foods over the years we've said, if you eat this in excess, it could be raw red meat. They just retracted and did a 180-degree turnabout on red meat last week. Like, well, it looks like we were wrong. Red meat's okay. Knock yourselves out.
Hey, Dr. Doug, isn't some dog food or a lot of it made from... real food?
Oh, you mean, what do you mean by real food?
Like steak or something like that? Like some dog food is made from steak or the wet?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. So, real food...
I guess Dan's point is a lot of what's in dog food would be the same food that would be part of the table scraps.
Yeah. Right, and in fact, a lot of the newer foods, you know, they call the ingredients are human grade. So, foods are getting better and better, and do they need that? You know, Frank, like you said, how many farm dogs grew up on nothing and did all right? You know, so but we do like to have a good balanced meal for the dogs. But yeah, that sounds again, if you can show us the data, that's all we care.
No, again, think about the source. The people saying this work where they make dog food. I mean, of course, they tell them anything else will kill the dog or give them cancer. That's a good one, Ken. Thank you.
I thought it was funny. All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Right. Some nice callers today. It's a good day.
Yeah, they are.
Nice. And Ken just graciously gave up a phone line, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Jeff is next. Jeff, welcome to 590 The Fan, and say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Well, thank you, and hello, Dr. Doug.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I am fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm okay.
Awesome. We have a 2-year-old border collie. Over the last 6 months or so and 3 trips to the vet, we've been told that she has food allergy or possible food allergy. She's itching her ears a lot. Well, I take that back. She does itch her ears. However, it's mainly she's shaking her head, and it's a lot. We do have her on a prescribed ear wash, a prescribed ear ointment, and we're giving her Benadryl twice a day, but it doesn't seem to either knock it or it's not going away. Lately, I've noticed that before she shakes her head, she turns her head like 90 degrees, and she like pauses, like, you know, I really want to do this, but I don't. And then she shakes. I'm almost thinking it could be sound is bothering her, but I can't confirm or deny that. But we have changed her diet. We've changed her from a normal dog food to a lamb and rice mix. Is there anything else that we can do to
see what's causing this? First of all, when we have dog allergies, we usually think of eyes, ears, and skin. Those are the areas that express it. Scratching, licking at the paws, all that kind of stuff. Are you seeing anything besides the ear symptoms?
No. When she does scratch, which is not a lot, it seems like she's putting her paw deep into the ear, and then she licks it, but it's not a constant itch like I've seen before in a dog where it's an ear allergy.
Right. So I'm thinking you might actually have, at this point, a primary ear, outer ear or middle ear infection. No head tilt at this point, right? Just shaking.
Well, no, that's one thing. She started more recently. It is more of a head tilt where she turns her head and she stops and then she shakes.
Okay. Yeah, so I really think that from what you just described, it sounds much more like a kind of a focal ear infection than it does a general allergy. But the allergy food's okay, and there's a million ways to plan and manage allergies in dogs. But in this case, I would start by rechecking with your vet if they haven't done it yet and let them look into the ear with an otoscope and make an assessment on both ears. And there are some other products that we use that we've gotten away, a lot of vets have gotten away from just doing ear washes and then putting antibiotics in. The one problem is that you don't know if the eardrum is intact unless your veterinarian takes a look. And if you start squirting a bunch of stuff in there, it can actually enter into from the outer ear canal, then it can go into the middle ear or inner ear and cause real problems. So the exam is most critical. And then
I have to interrupt for one second. Dan, would you please look at your screen, please? Thank you. Go ahead, gentlemen.
So you definitely want to have the exam done. And then there are new medications you might talk to your veterinarian that don't have to be given. In fact, you're not supposed to flush. So you can give an antibiotic of sorts, and it stays in there for, sometimes they have products now that can stay in there for a couple of weeks, and you don't have to do all the flushing and everything. And, you know, I grew up doing it that way, but I really feel like nowadays we find that we might actually cause more problems than good doing it that way. Okay? So let's get you back to your veterinarian, and let's kind of revisit the whole opportunity and see how to best manage it.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. Jeff is gone. Line is open, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Jim, it's your turn. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, doctor. I have a colleague that has diabetes and has cataracts because of that. And I'm afraid she's getting glaucoma because, like, the blood vessels at the top of her eyes are getting red on one side. And I was wondering if there's some medicine I can use or get from the vet that would help that.
Was this a dog or a cat? I couldn't hear you.
A corgi, a dog.
Okay, yeah. So diabetes in dogs and cats is managed pretty well. We don't do the fine management that we do in humans, but it's still very effective. And your veterinarian will talk to you about, after he confirms that, and if he has already, that's fine. He'll talk to you about using some insulin regimes, there's a whole bunch of them, just like we use in humans as well. The glaucoma shouldn't be directly related to that. It's a bad situation, and the glaucoma, it has to do with problems and fluid circulating from one part of the eye to the other. And they get a lot of pressure, the eye swells, it gets real red and inflamed. Some cases the eye has to be removed. And that sounds terrible, it's not a big deal, not to me at least.
It's a big deal if you're the dog, it's a big deal.
Yeah, they do very well with one eye, that's the point. But again, you need to have your veterinarian manage all this. He's going to do a urine test, possibly a blood test, that makes sense. You always
not on you, Jeff, on the dog.
On the dog. But you need to get the schedule with him to bring the dog in first thing in the morning so he gets an early morning urination and blood work after like a 12-hour fast. And he'll be able to tell you immediately if it's kidney problems or diabetes or liver disease or whatever it is, and then he'll help manage you with one or more different insulin types. And it really is not difficult to do. People are always freaked out, but it's really about learning how to give a little shot underneath the skin and then checking the urine every once in a while to see if it's healthy and free of sugar. Okay?
Okay. And that lady, Jim? That had the problem, that lady that had the problem with the dog licking her arm,
yeah.
She can cure that by not petting that dog.
What?
The lady that had the dog licking her arm, she didn't like being licked.
Yeah.
If she doesn't pet the dog, she won't have that problem.
There goes her relationship.
Is that a joke?
Is it a joke? No. Is that a joke? We don't get it. Is that a joke?
I'm serious. She shouldn't pet that dog.
But I don't think it's a result of the. I think the dog comes up and licks your arm, whether she was petting it or not. The way she sounded, I think the dog just comes up and starts licking her arm. I don't know.
I can't. I have two dogs, and one of them is a sneaky licker. He's a little Australian Terrier, and somebody who doesn't know him, they want to pick him up, they want to put him like right next to their face, and he's got this big long tongue, and he will just slam it right through their lips and right down to their esophagus. I mean, it's just disgusting. And the way I prevent him from doing that to me is just a little smack on the nose. The first couple times he tried to do it to me, and after about three little smacks, never happened again, ever.
Well, maybe she needs to smack the dog on the nose.
Well, not too hard.
Jim, thank you.
Saying, you know, a deterrent.
Thank you for the call. Jim graciously left you a phone line open. 855-282-8255, 314-821-0590. Ray, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How you doing?
Hey, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing great. AM to PM.
Thank you.
What you got? Okay. I've got a senior cat. He's about 17, okay? And he's getting at that point where he's urinating on himself, and I don't think he's doing it to relieve him or to dispel everything. I think he's just doing it to relieve himself because he's too lazy to get to the bathroom. But is this normal?
Is he waking up from a nap in urine, or is he just peeing wherever he wants to as he walks?
Well, he's peeing in his bed.
Yeah,
so,
where he's sleeping. Right?
Yes.
Where he sleeps, yeah. No, where he's sleeping. Is that right, Ray? Yeah. See, then that's not normal. That's not
normal. That sounds like some form of incontinence. So when they have just, and he could still have, you should definitely check out a urinary tract infection. And more importantly, at that age, these cats tend to develop a declining kidney function, so they go into kidney failure, and that can do the same thing. You know, the other one, as I said, could be that there's some kind of weird hormonal imbalance and they become incontinent. It's more typically in females, but anything's possible. But you got to rule out the obvious. So there could be a stone in the bladder, stone in the kidneys. Those can both cause just inappropriate urination. There could be a primary infection in the bladder and the kidneys, and at a cat that age, you definitely want to check them out because those kind of things could get serious very quickly. So I would say get to the vet, let them do a urine sample. Again, the early morning urine is the best way to go, and then they may want to take an x-ray and a little blood work. None of that would be inappropriate. That would be all useful in the vet trying to figure out how to treat your cat. Okay.
You know, it's a quality of life issue. I don't want to put him through a lot of tests because the last time he went to the vet, they took a blood sample to run some tests on him. This was a few years back, and he did not do very well. He doesn't like any of that needle stuff, and I'm wondering if this is something I should just let it run its course or.
Well,
and how would I get a urine?
You might be really uncomfortable, and if you don't do anything, you might see if your vet will be willing to at least get them on a round of antibiotics to see if that helps. But to just do nothing is kind of, I wouldn't think would be as good for the cat. It certainly, if he does have a problem that's painful or uncomfortable, and that's why he's urinating inappropriately, you're not doing anything but, you know, prolonging the agony, right? So,
right.
If you can, I think it's worth going to the vet at least for an exam, and you can decide how much you're willing to put into it or not put into it, and whatever you do is better than nothing. Okay.
So, yeah, how would I get a urine sample?
Well, one way you can do it at home, you can clean the box, or you can leave the box in there with the gravel or whatever you're using in the cat box, and then put that entire box into a large plastic trash bag and pad the plastic down over the sand or grit or whatever you're using. And they will often go right on top of that and just pee because they're used to going in the box.
And then the plastic holds it, it won't sink through. The plastic will hold it as a container, right?
Right, right. And then you just draw it up in a little syringe or a pipette or something or a little whatever, a dropper, and you refrigerate it until you can get it to the vet. You don't want to freeze it, and you would prefer to have it fresh enough that it's probably within 4 to 6 hours to get the most reasonable reading, so you get an honest reading, okay? So that would
fantastic.
Be a... Say what?
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, try that, and then... But at least it gives you something to try, and you can feel better about how things are going. Just express to your vet that the cat just does not travel. So if you're going to do anything, you'll bring a sample and maybe it'll give you some antibiotics for 10 days and see if it makes a difference.
All right, Ray, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Thank you, Dr. Doug.
All right.
Sure.
I have exactly 2 minutes, no more, maybe a minute 45 for Ann. Ann, jump right in. It's all yours. Say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug, and I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you, Ann.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Oh, just fine. I have a question about feral dogs. I've rescued feral dogs my whole life, and I've noticed that on some of my feral dogs that had mange really bad, their fur, when I first get them, would be one color, but when their hair falls out because of the mange, the hair grows back a totally different color. Is that because of the mange, or is that a deficiency in their blood or their...
Doc, you got 45 seconds.
Yeah, okay. So sometimes it comes back black because it's the body's response often with chronic irritation and inflammation that the mange would cause. They can have a pigment change because of that. It's like a healing. They put down melanocytes, black cell types. So that's one possibility. The other would be that there's just something driven in the genetics that when it comes back, it's going to come back a different coat color. And I don't know the specifics of that, but I've seen that before. Usually not a pathology, just a fact of life.
Okay. Yeah, because when I took the puppy, it looked like a German Shepherd and colored like a German Shepherd, but now he's solid brown. He's tan.
Yeah, and you don't know what part of that was genetics that were predetermined anyway, but even though he was a Shepherd, maybe that was a color that was imposed on his genetic line.
We are out of time. Okay. We are out of time. Ann, thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Doc, thank you. And let's remind everybody that Dr. Doug is always brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States, the preferred window of the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. Doc, we'll do it again next Wednesday. What do you say?
Thank you. And Frank, I thought your whole attitude change has been wonderful. The people are responding.
Oh, it's me. My attitude changed? Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you. It worked. Thank you. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. He'll be back next Wednesday. We're not killing the show. And again, he's brought to you by Window World. Never forget that. They do a lot for the show also. Wow. The 2 hours went really, really fast, but we still have the 5 o'clock hour. That's the big one. Okay. That's the, you know, includes Bill Cleveland, Mike Evans, the joke and the whole thing. So you don't want to go away yet. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is TJ Moe. You're listening to 5-9 of the Fan, KFNS, Wood River, and 59ofthefan.com, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Frustration is growing among House Republicans about the impeachment inquiry, which is being conducted by three committees. NBC reporter Garrett Hake says Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is among the loudest complaining that